Okay, we all ready? Roy is just going to read us a poem.
Jay asked me to take the pressure off him today. He said, give us a break, Roy. Just give us a chance to do something. Hold on. Right, I just was encouraged this morning by Jimmy. I don't usually speak, as you know. But when I've been close to God in the past, I have had words from the Lord. And I call them my five-minute poems. I just thought I'd speak this out. Like, Eagle the Rock sits on his throne. He who is the cornerstone. His eyes to and fro across this land. He knows everything, even every grain of sand. He watches his world every day and night. What a world he has created. Oh, what a sight. A world full of sin. What can you do to invite him in? He gave us his son to save us from sin for all who believe in him. Troubled world, give him your fear and pride. He has paid the price for you. There is no need to hide. This world is his and he will reclaim it again. For a people who were lost, you shall be saved. Take his word and read it each day and gather the wisdom to be saved. Do not judge others, just look to the cross. Let him rule your life, the one who was the Father's loss. Words to condemn, words to justify, words to make you part of his lifeline. To rise again and bring a new dawn, so we can once again be born. To take him in and let him come on board, a promise of better days will unfold. Capture the moment, capture the signs. The moment may never come again in your lifetime.
Thanks, Roy. Okay. What I've got to say this morning could probably be said in a paragraph or less, the general message of it. But I'm going to speak a little bit about righteousness. And I think I had a conversation in work the other day, and basically there's a guy on my section in work who is very, very anti-God, anti-Christ. And he was brought up in the church, so he's got a lot of knowledge. And I just found myself, I've been dreading, I knew the conversation was going to come over the past 2 years, and it happened the other night, and it was like, very, very daunting. And I just ended up saying, Lord, just you speak, not me. And that's what hopefully is going to happen today as well. But I think that the way, certainly my friends, I'm very blessed to have another Christian on my section. He's away at the moment. But it's good to be able to talk to someone in work about the things of God. But the other guys, I think they think I'm just a weirdo, really. Which is what the world does think, isn't it? You know, of us, like. But anyway, Rob asked me to speak on this about 4 months ago. And I said, yeah, sound, Rob, yeah. And then this week I thought, oh, I forgot everybody to say that. It just crept up on me. So I've had a little look at it, and there's a guy at the start of these notes. He's from India. And it says, I grew up in a religion which is cyclical. So you are born and you live a life and then you're reborn. And as long as you continue to do good works at home, in society, at home and with other individuals, you can become right with God. And if it was like that, I don't know, you know, I think the world does think that, doesn't it? They think that if we can be a nice person and be kind to people, then we'll go to heaven. That's what the guys on my section were saying. One of them, he said to me, so Jay, what happens to the average Joe? He's from Wellington, that was a rubbish accent, sorry. he wanted to know what happens to the normal average people. And before I could say anything, this guy, the angry guy, jumped in and said, if you don't believe in Jesus, then you're going to hell. And he made it look like I was part of this exclusive club. And I am going to talk to my mate about it. But like the circumstances wouldn't let me kind of say anything at that point, because it was the end. But I will tell him. You know, average Joe's and extreme Joes can both go to heaven, you know. But it's not because of what you do. It's what Jesus done.
Amen.
So, religion is spelt do, D-O. Christianity is spelt done, D-O-N-E. It's done, that's it. There's nothing more we need to do. And anything we try and add on is rubbish. In a survey not so long ago, they asked 7,000 churchgoers whether they agreed with this statement. The way to be accepted by God is to try sincerely to live a good life. More than 60% agreed with that. And that's churchgoers. In other words, many Christians think that they can be good enough for God just by doing good things, or not by not doing bad things. And that was how Paul was before the Lord introduced himself to him on the road to Damascus. And if anyone could say, I've done well, I'm an exemplary citizen. I followed the law, the letter of the law, crossed every T and dotted every I. Paul could say that. But even that, as he said, all his achievements before meeting Christ were garbage, rubbish. But still, you know, we've heard this message before, but I still try and do things to, you know, try and, if I do this, then I think God will be happy with me. You know, so yeah, you know, it's not the way we're supposed to think, but sometimes I do think like that. Or maybe subliminally, you know, if I smile at this person or if I'm kind to that person, maybe, you know, God won't be so angry with me. I don't know. There's a guy that's been asking me to help him out lately, and I am quite an easygoing and kind person in general, but this chap has really tested my patience, really. he struggles with drink, and it's like he makes no effort to help himself at all. And I'm dying to, well, I am helping him. I'm trying to help him to help himself. You know, I buy him bits of shopping now and again. Whenever he asks me, I try and help if I can. But one day, it was about the third time, I think, he'd asked me for stuff. I just went to Tesco and just knocked on his door. He opened the door and went like that, with a bag. Just gave it to him and then got off. And as I was driving home, this is going to sound weird, as I was telling my mates this and where, and no wonder they think I'm weird. I was driving from, he lives in Bootle, so I was driving underneath the Seaforth flyover to go back to mine in Litherland, to turn right down Princess Way. And as I was turning on the roundabout, like leading up to the roundabout, if you can picture it, I was driving like dead angry. And I felt God saying, go and say sorry to him. You know, go and tell him. Go and tell him it's all right. And I thought, nah, I'm going home, I'm going to bed. But as I was on the roundabout, I was like, I went back to Bootle. I did knock on his door, but he wasn't there. But I thought, well, you know, at least I've done what I was told. But even in that, it was kind of like, as I always say, okay, well, if I do that for you, Lord, then, you know, maybe I can have this or that or the other. That mindset, you know what I mean? And it's like we are trying. We're trying to help God out sometimes by doing little things, things that we think will help. And it's not the right mindset at all to be in. And I've found myself in that a few times. We can't earn righteousness by anything we do. Paul couldn't do it, so we certainly can't do it. Roy Morgan told me a story once, and I think Gordon was part of this. So I might be wrong, Gordon, but there was a new Christian. I think he started coming to Kingsway. I don't know who it was, but I think it was Roy and Gordon went to visit him to see how he was getting on, and I think he was struggling a bit. So please forgive me, Gordon, if I'm wrong. Gordon said to him, right, take this big stick and go and beat yourself up in the back garden. And the guy was ready to do it until Gordon and Roy said, because Roy looked at Gordon shocked, like, what are you on about? What are you telling him to do? But Gordon just said to Roy, just wait. So anyway, the guy was prepared to go out and batter himself with this stick just to you know, for penance, if you like, to earn forgiveness, to earn righteousness. And he didn't go out in the end and do it, because Gordon thankfully said it's okay. But it just shows you, doesn't it, the way we think. If I do that, I mean, there's some religions, aren't there? I remember as a kid seeing some slides from like a missionary trip to India or somewhere like that, and there were people who put hooks in their back, you know. I'm sure you've seen things like that. Why? Was it Elijah and the prophets of Baal, where it was the contest for the fire, and they were, you know, Elijah let them go first, and they were trying all sorts. In the end, they started cutting themselves just so their God would hear them. But our God's not like that at all. We try and compensate. We can't sometimes get to grips with the fact that Jesus died for us and for every sin we've ever done and will ever do. We just can't get our heads around it sometimes. I can't. And we try and add things. When I was a kid, my mum used to make the roast dinner on a Sunday. And I love my mum, but she's not a great cook, I'll be honest. And the worst thing of it all was that if she didn't have enough meat, she'd compensate with just a load of veg to fill the plate. And it used to do me head in. I'm not a big veg fan. If you're a vegetarian, sound, but like, there'd be a couple of roasties, a little bit of beef or whatever, and then loads of carrot and turnip on the rest of the plate. And I used to tell my mum, but she never learns. She still doesn't now. In fact, when I started going out with Andrea, I joked with my mum and said, I told her that Andrea loved peas. She absolutely hates peas. And anyway, my mum wanting to please her, just put loads of peas on her plate. And it backfired on me later on, because I had to get all the peas off Andrea's plate. And I filled the whole bowl with the peas off the plate. But it is like that, isn't it? We try and make up for what we think's missing, but there's nothing missing. It's done. It's finished. As I said before, Paul said, all our efforts are garbage. And he probably used words worse than that to describe it. Dog muck, says in the message. Dog dung. You know, or as Robbie here, he calls it dog toffee, which I like. But you know, like going back to my mum's plate scenario, it doesn't matter how much veg you put on the plate, it's never going to make up for the beef. Unless you're a vegetarian. There's a song lyric, and it says, the chasm was far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. I never thought I'd reach the other side, but your love never fails. The only way that we can get his righteousness is not by moral or religious efforts, but by simple trust in him. And sometimes that's the hardest thing, isn't it? even today, when I thought about speaking, felt as though God was dangling me off a cliff. But I thought, I'll trust you, Lord. Because, you know, even if you do let me go, you'll catch me again. When I started training for the Marines in 2007, we had a similar situation. From a 30-foot wall, we had to abseil, but it was called a trust exercise. And I had to stand on top of the wall and lean over into, you know, to the ground below. And you'd be attached to a rope. But then you'd have to trust the person behind you and the people on the ground to stop the rope when you got up just above the ground. And I always remember what the colour sergeant said to me. He said, have you done this before? I said, no colours, no. He said, okay, you learn on the way down. And he just pushed me off. So I had no option but to trust in what they were doing. And when I got there, someone stopped the rope just before I landed on the floor, which was good. And another time, when I was in my Thai boxing training, we were trying to do the splits towards the end of the class to wind down. And I could get a certain way, can't do it anymore, but I could get a certain way down. And the instructor could see that I was struggling. And he came over and he said, hold my hands. And I thought, what? I'm trying to control my own body. I'm not going to hold your hands. But he said, just hold my hands and stop tensing your muscles and stop moaning. So I just grabbed his hands, because I was tensing every muscle that I had. And I was shaking, I could feel myself shaking. He said, just relax. So I relaxed a bit. And I was able to go down more because I listened to what he said. I trusted his wisdom to get there. And we have to do that as well, don't we, with the Lord? Because a lot of the time, I don't think he believes in comfort zones. But he doesn't want us to be in them anyway, does he? I'm not in mine now, I tell you. But it's all about trusting him. And knowing and believing that it is done. What he set out to do is done. And that's it. And that doesn't mean to say that we can just do what we want, you know. Because it says, doesn't it, in Proverbs 21, verse 3, it says, do what is right and just. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So that tells me, you know, prevention is better than cure. Don't do wrong things. You can come to God and ask for forgiveness later, but why not just do the right thing from the start? And also, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 tells us, let us not become weary in doing good, for that at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. So, I always remember when I was about 7 years old, there was a lad on our estate. He was horrible to me. He used to beat me up. He used to bully me. And I remember him saying, this is at age 7. He was a couple of years older than me, but I remember him saying to me, just in a general conversation, because he was me mate, but he used to batter me like. It's true. But he said to me once, I'm closer to God than you are. I'm an altar boy. And I thought, even at 7, I thought, that's rubbish, that. That's not true. And my mum had only been a Christian for about a year at that point. But I knew that it was wrong. It's as though God was saying to me, don't listen to him. He's telling a load of pork pies. But I think he thought he was closer to God than me. Because he was an altar boy. And that's what a lot of people think, isn't it? I go to church. I give money to the poor. You know, I visit elderly people's homes. So of course I'm going to heaven. No. Great to do those things, it is, but you've got to acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. And it, back in the Bible times, it was the
Philippians.
Yeah, the new Christians in Philippi were being told by some very respectable, very credible, very religious people who actually claimed to be Christian. They were being told that they could never be acceptable to God unless they got themselves circumcised. That's rubbish. It's not. Whatever that thing is that people are saying you need to do, whether it's circumcision, whether it's you need to read your Bible more, or you know, feed the homeless. It's meaningless without God's righteousness in your life. So, in these notes here, something that stuck out to me, because we can often consider those things to be our righteousness. I've repeated it over and over again, but we feel as though we can earn our place. And it says we need to repent, not only for our sin, but also for our righteousness, the things that we think are righteous. It says here as well, if we're trying to make ourselves righteous by our own efforts, we'll either become self-righteous or self-loathing. On the one hand, if I believe I can make myself righteous and I think I'm doing a great job of it, then I'll just get proud and I'll start to look down on people. And it makes me think that of in the temple where the rich man is giving his offering. I can just picture him looking around, making sure the people are looking at him as he puts his big, you know, big bag of money in the tray. And he obviously thinks that he's probably got like a gold throne at the side of God in heaven. And it's a load of rubbish again, isn't it? And then there's the little lady who gives everything she's got. Sometimes we can be between those two things, self-righteous and self-loathing, you know. The self-loathing comes where you'll realise that nothing you do can be good enough to earn righteousness. But what you fail to grasp is the fact that it doesn't matter, it's already done. And without that, you know, you can go into one type of thing. So I've certainly been guilty of that one, therefore. And if you're trying to make yourself righteous, you're effectively saying to God, I've done all these things for you. Like I said before, I've done all these things for you, so now you owe me. And you wouldn't dare say that straight to God, would you? But I think that's what the mindset is sometimes. And that's absurd. You're treating the creator of the universe as though he's in your debt. And when we do that, we insult and belittle him. And we're obeying him to get what we want rather than obeying him simply because we love him, which is what we should be doing. So, and to speak like this, you know, to people who don't believe, it's very controversial, isn't it? And as I said before, like that conversation I had in work the other day, I was made to look like I was self-righteous, like I thought, right, you're not going to heaven, you're not, but I am. Like Alan, the altar boy, who said I'm closer to God. But it definitely, it's given me a kick up the bum now to go back to me mate and say, average Joes can go to heaven too. Just got to believe in it. John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Has anyone ever read that?
No.
He was in prison for many years. But he was walking in the fields one morning and this line came into his mind. your righteousness is in heaven. Bunyan said, with the eyes of my soul, I saw Jesus at the Father's hand, right hand, so that wherever I was or whatever I was doing, God couldn't say to me, where is your righteousness? For it was always right before him. And he said, I saw that this is not my good frame of heart that made my righteousness better, or my bad frame that made my righteousness worse. So nothing you can do can change the fact that your righteousness is Christ. And the only way we get his righteousness is not by moral or religious efforts, like I said before, but by simple trust in him. The verse I read before in Proverbs 21:3, the Message version says, clean living before God and justice with our neighbours mean far more to God than religious performance. So it's as though God can even see into our hearts, which is true, isn't it? Because the verse before that says, we justify our actions by appearances, but God examines our motives. You know, I'm sure there's more than one person in here that's been guilty of that, doing something to make it look like something, but really wanting something out of it for themselves, type of thing. But we've all done it. Pray. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for this lovely day. Thank you that we're all here today. Lord, nobody's here by accident. And everyone's exactly where you want them to be right now. Lord, I pray, Father God, that what we've talked about this morning would sit with people, Lord, and they think about it. And I pray that you just be with everyone this week as they go about their business, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.